of a tree, searching for God. Where could he be? He labors in vain, trying to live a good life, but he can't ignore the pain and the strife. A mother gives up her only child as a sacrifice to a god of this world. Yet what will she gain? Will she ever know? Will she learn of Jesus unless we go? Will they ever know? Will they ever see the love of God the way it should be? Will they ever hear the simple truth for them to know? It's up to me and you. There is a little boy somewhere on the street. He has no home and nothing to eat. Yet worse than those needs are the needs of his soul. How will he learn of Jesus unless we go? Will he ever know? Will he ever see the love of God the way it should be? Will he ever hear the simple truth for him to know? It's up to me and you. Someday before the Lord, before all mankind, we will see how we've been so blind. We'll see all the souls for which we didn't care. And as they're condemned, we'll know we put them there. And now they'll never know, they'll never see the love of God the way it should be. Now they'll never hear the simple truth for them to know. It's up to me.
Thank you, ladies. Of course, we're honored to have Brother Esposito back from the mission field with us, and he's going to be preaching for us this morning. And so let's make sure we pay attention and listen to what God has for us. Brother Esposito, why don't you come?
All right, Jeremy, what we're going to do is we're going to show the video first, so if you'll be ready for that, it's good to be here. Of course, we were with you Thursday night, last two Thursday nights in a row. Good crowd this morning. What a beautiful song. I've asked the girls to be ready to sing that song during the invitation if we have time. Most of you know this, the emphasis of this year, as it was last year, for the missions revival is, it's China. And I think you all have a sticker, I think they passed them out to you. I just came from preaching for our Khmer folk, and it says, China or bust. Those were some of the last words that Pastor Joe said just before he went to the hospital, and that really is the emphasis. Now, we have a team in Cambodia, and in a few moments, I'm going to show you some PowerPoint pictures of Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand, where I've been serving for the last 2.5 years, and tell the story behind the faces. A couple of the pictures are pictures I've actually shown before, but I know there are a lot of new folk here, and they're actually people who God used to really stir my heart, and I'm praying that God will use it to stir your heart. But before we preach, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans 10, because that's where we'll be in a minute. But before we preach and before we show the PowerPoint, we're going to go ahead and watch a 5-minute video. And the title of the video is simply this, China or Bust. Stand if we could get those lights. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Brother Myers, thank you for allowing me to be here. It is a privilege. Oh, somebody's got to cover this thing or I'm going to go blind. There we go. Turn this thing off or something. Romans chapter 10. And Jeremy, right after I pray, after I read the scripture, pray, you could go ahead and put the first slide of the PowerPoint. Romans chapter 10. We're going to read verse 14 and 15 this morning. And what I did is I put together a quick PowerPoint, and I'm not going to rush through it. If we need to show some of it tonight, we'll show some of it. Some of the stories I shared with you Thursday night, but we didn't have a picture behind it. I'm going to show you the picture. And of course, many of the folks who are here this morning were not here. But there are pictures from Thailand, Cambodia, and Laos, and just different people that I've met. Many of them I've had a chance to lead to Christ. Some of them I did not have the chance to lead to Christ. But that God has used to stir my heart. Missions revival time is, that's what it's all about. That's been my prayer the last couple days. In the few moments that I have with you this morning, and then again this evening, and I do encourage you to come tonight, if you don't normally come, is that God would in some way use my feeble effort to stir your heart to reach the world for Christ. Especially the 1040 window. By the way, I do want to mention this. You weren't many of you. I just wrote a book called Peeking Through the 1040 Window, Why It Matters to God, Why It Should Matter to Us. And every penny of it above printing costs is going to the poor of Cambodia that we minister to and serve on a daily basis. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says this, how then shall they call on him of course being Jesus, whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him and who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Father, I pray that you'd bless the few moments that we have this morning. The truth of the matter is, the DVD says it all. There's a world that's lost without Christ. It's found, especially in the 1040 window. 86% of the Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindu people will live their entire lives of never meet a Christian and never hear the gospel. And most of them live in that part of the world. And Father, it is our desire as a church not only to continue to support and pray for our missionaries in Cambodia and Thailand and Laos, but Lord, we believe that it's your will for us to be able to send a group to China, to the 1.4 billion people of China, a communist country, a restrictive nation, a creative access nation, a nation that does not have the access to the things that we have access to. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless stir our hearts today, and I pray, Lord, that the biblical principle that our eyes affect our heart would just kick in this morning, as not only did we see the video, but we look at some pictures, some things, some people, some faces that you used to stir my heart. May it stir the hearts of those who are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So, Jeremy, you can go ahead and put that PowerPoint up there. The passage of Scripture we just read is very familiar to those of us who've been in church for any length of time. Of course, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you are saved today? Say amen. Amen. I don't know about you. I'll never forget January 17, 1977, the day that I got saved. And I'm thankful that I lived in America. I lived in a country that we had the freedom where you could pass out tracts, where you could share the gospel, you could preach. I'm thankful today that all of my children, all of my grandchildren are either in this church or a Bible-believing church here in the state of California. They have the freedom to hear the gospel, and they can make a choice to say yes to Jesus or no. But unfortunately, as many of us know, unfortunately, there are parts of the world they don't have that blessing. They don't have that privilege. And that's the 1040 window. Wrote a book about it. I think many of you have got the little brochure, The Devil's Dirty Little Secret. It's the part of the world, Northern Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and China. And specifically, today, we're going to look at some pictures from Southeast Asia and tie it in with China. this morning and this evening. Now, some of you are new, and this is like all foreign. You're saying, man, what is the dude wearing Chinese clothes up there doing preaching? Personally, I like this better than the tie. Somebody say amen. But what is he doing up there? What we're trying to do is we're just trying to help folks to understand there's something outside of America. There are people who are lost without Christ that absolutely don't have what you and I have here today. By the way, thank God you have it. Somebody say amen. Just coming here, almost all of you drove by church after church after church. And I know, here's what everybody says, yeah, but those weren't good churches. Where I live and where I serve, there's not good churches, there's not bad churches, there's not ugly churches, there's just no churches, period. And so we're going to talk about that today, because anybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you can't call if you don't believe. You can't believe if you don't hear. And they're not going to hear unless somebody is sent. And I'm thankful to be a part of a church. By the way, Brother Myers and all the staff, the church family, nearly every church I go to, they say, man, how do you guys do it? You send all of your staff members overseas, and man, you got this. Thank God for Pacific Baptist Church and what you have done in the past, what you will continue to do in the future. So we're going to look at a couple pictures. Jeremy, if you put that next slide up there. This was Thailand a few years ago. We were in Thailand. We were up in a Hmong village up in northern Thailand. Of course, Jay and Tom are there, our team there. And we were sharing the gospel. Actually, at that moment, I was sharing the gospel, and somebody was interpreting for me. As I was sharing the gospel, we heard, I don't know how to describe it, but it sounded like a scream. But I didn't understand the language, and the truth is, Jay didn't understand the language, and neither did Tom. They only understood the Hmong language, a little bit of Thai, but it wasn't Hmong, it wasn't Thai. So we heard this, it almost sounded like somebody was screaming, maybe crying, and so what we did, we started walking over towards where the screaming was coming from, and we found this woman. She was not Thai, she lives in Thailand, but not Thai, she's from a different ethnic group, and whatever language she was speaking was not familiar, it was not Thai. Or Hmong, and she's a blind woman. She's a blind beggar. And one of the nationals there in the village happened to understand the language she was speaking. I forget what tribal group she was from. And we asked, well, what is she? Because it was very apparent she was crying. You know what I mean? You don't even have to understand the language. You understand? It was like a call for help. And so we asked, what is she saying? And they said, basically, if I remember, I don't remember the exact words, she's asking, will somebody help me? Somebody help me. She was hungry. She didn't have any food. She was blind. She couldn't walk. I don't know how she got where she was, to be quite frank with you. And I remember the day that I saw that, and as I was witnessing it, and the flood of emotions, and many of you have heard me tell, the 3 weeks I was in Southeast Asia, 21 days, man, I cried like a baby. I was an emotional wreck. And this was just one of many of the experiences. I'm looking, and I was thought about so many people in that part of the world may not be blind physically, but they are blind spiritually. They don't know Christ. They may not all be begging for physical food, though many of them are. But they need spiritual food. And I remember as I looked at this woman, it just reminded me of that part of the world that we call the 1040 window. It reminded me of that part of the world that we labor in, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, eventually China, India, all that part of the world. And it really was for me a peek through the 1040 window. I had a chance to see something. My heart was stirred. Go ahead if you put the next slide up, Jeremy. And this is actually in Laos. This is my house in Laos from the outside. These are some poor children in Laos. My wife and I and our team were sitting down. We were having a meal. And these children, we knew them all. They were all poor children. And we were sitting there eating. And they came and they started looking at us. And they had that look on them like, can I get some? Somebody say amen. And they were hungry. And, of course, we invited them in, and they had lunch with us. But I remember when I saw this, I remember the first thought to myself, it really did remind me of that part of the world. They're on the outside looking in, and they're sort of like the poor man in Luke chapter 16 who's laying at the gate, and all he wants is just a few crumbs from the rich man's table. Of course, the United States of America is the rich man. This is a part of the world that they're not asking for everything. Those kids didn't want to take all my food. They just wanted a couple crumbs from the table. That's what Missions Revival is all about. That's why we're meeting together here today. That's why everybody's dressed. Even Brother Myers is dressed Chinese. Somebody say amen. I mean, I think he ought to go. Amen. But that's why tonight you'll have international food. Now, by the way, don't go buy Kentucky Fried Chicken. Brother Carrillo used to do that. What's it? What is that, okay? By the way, and don't get real exotic international food either, but we won't talk about that. But, you know, what we're trying to do to Thursday, today, and to this morning, tonight, what we're trying to do is help you to realize that all over the country of Laos, all over the country of Thailand, all over the country of Cambodia, all over Southeast Asia, in the country of China, which we're emphasizing, all over the Middle East, all over Northern Africa, there are men, women, boys, and girls who are lost without Christ. They're not asking for a whole lot, but God has blessed America. We have the gospel. We have the material resources. All they want is just a couple crumbs. They're not asking for it all. Just a couple crumbs. Today, by the way, our team in Phnom Penh had a great, great celebration service. Of course, we're 14 hours behind them, so it's Monday, 2 o'clock in the morning or something there. But I was able to, Adrian helped me, thank God for the technology, I was able to talk to some of the folks at Phnom Penh and Sony, which we'll show you a picture in a moment. Sony had a chance to talk to Sony. She doesn't understand a word I say. I don't understand a word she said, but I love her dearly. Won her to Christ about 6 weeks ago. She is as poor. And I told my wife, you make sure that she has food money. Because as soon as she got saved, her family said, no more food. No more food. Now that's physical food. There's a part of the world that God wants you and God wants me to be aware of that so desperately needs Christ. They need the bread of life. Go ahead, if you go to that next slide, please, Jeremy. It's not a good picture. I've been having internet issues since I've been here. I have better internet in Southeast Asia. Somebody say amen. But, of course, I'm living in a cave over here. But that's supposed to be the Great Wall of China. And just real quickly, you know, the Great Wall of China has been up for thousands of years. I don't know exactly how long. It was basically meant to keep foreigners from coming in. And the truth of the matter is to keep their folks from coming out. Most of us know about the Great Wall of China, but very few of us know about the great spiritual wall that is all over the 1040 window. And it is there for a specific purpose, to keep the gospel out. If God so allows us to go to China, we have to go under the radar. If God, our team in Laos, it's under the radar. Why? Because there's a spiritual wall. Can I just tell you something? There's no wall too high for God's people to jump. Somebody say amen. All I'm trying to say is Pacific Baptist Church, if Joshua could walk around the walls of Jericho in 7 days and see the walls come tumbling down, if God so ordains, we can see spiritual walls come down. Somebody say amen. Go ahead, next slide real quickly. These words just are haunting words. There's only one thing worse than being lost. How many of you have ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? There's only one thing worse than being lost, and that's being lost and having no one trying to find you. The Khmer people were asking me, you know, they said, do you walk across the street? Phnom Penh, you have to have extra life insurance to walk across the street. My wife still does not walk across the streets. We have to get a helicopter to come get her to get across the street. She says, I'm just not doing it. And then riding on the back of the moto. I'm discipling a guy named Casal, and sometimes I get on the back of his moto, and I mean to tell you, I my prayer life, where is the God of Elijah? Anyway, it's just like, wow. But they were asking me, so I was telling them funny stories. I barely know the language. Most of the people I work with actually speak some English, and when I go out, I actually have a couple guys that I'm discipling, work with. They interpret for me, so I get to share the gospel, seeing many people saved and that type of thing. And I know a lot of words. I just can't put them in a sentence. It's like, wow. And when you're my age, I'm 75. When you're my age, it's really hard to do that. But I know some words. So when my wife and I get on tuk-tuk, I know turn right, ba-salam. Ba-twang, turn left, throne. One day, there was a guy from Brother Fisher's church visiting with us, and we were in the tuk-tuk. We were coming back from the market. I always have to pay attention, because if we miss our street, we're going to be in trouble. So sure enough, we were talking, and we missed our street. And I noticed we missed, I could see our street, and I forgot how to say reverse, U-turn. I figured, no problem. You know how it is? You miss the street, you just turn another right. You're there. Somebody say amen. So we were going down the street. I said, Basalam, Salam, Salam. So he turned down the street. Unfortunately, the streets of Phnom Penh are nothing like Long Beach. Somebody say, man. Oh my God. So I'm looking for the next Saddam. There was no Saddam. I'm not talking about Saddam Hussein. But anyway, I'm going, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And so next thing we go, I'm over here, I was like, the tuk-tuk driver's looking at me like, he didn't speak English. I don't speak Khmer. He's looking at me thinking, oh, you stupid American. What is, gee. Yeah, I know what else he was thinking. I will never pick you up again. We were lost. Now we finally got back home. But in the 1040 window, there are billions of people who are lost. And the sad thing is, nobody is trying to find them. That's our call. That's our commission. And that's our challenge. Next slide, if you would, Jeremy. Thursday night won't take much time, but Thursday night I shared the story of the lady who said, when will you come help us? This is the lady. These are some of the teenagers. And I'm not going to take the time, but I shared the story Thursday night. I wanted you to see her face, the lady in the green. She's the one who looked at me. A missionary had come, basically shared the gospel with them, and from Germany. They got saved. They started to work. Soon after he started the work, his wife got very, very ill, terminally ill, had to leave, and they've been meeting for years, and nobody to pastor them, no missionary. And you remember Thursday I told you, I asked, well, who preaches for you? And she said, I do, because there is nobody else. And she asked me to preach, and after I preached for them, and they were hanging on every word, she said, when will you come? When will you come? Go ahead, next slide, if you would. This is Srey, and I have to move. Srey is one of the grandmothers that we saw come to Christ a few months ago, and that's her son, Sophia, and he got saved about a month ago, just before I left the country, left Cambodia. But she's the one, I have no idea where this came from. She was the one who, we invited them to our house to have a meal. And all the grandmothers, we had 8 grandmothers in the house, and they're all poor. And she said, I want to see you dance in church. I said, where did that come from? And she listened to one of my old videos or something. But anyway, I had no idea where that came from. But anyway, she got saved, and she's the one who on a Sunday night, she was going back to her village. She's the one who said, we're going back to a village. We want to grow in the Lord. Can you come to our village? Her village is 10 or 12 hours away. See, in Cambodia, there's 14,000 villages, and 85% of them have absolutely no church, no gospel witness whatsoever. See, anybody in those villages who call on the name of the Lord can be saved. But they have to believe first. But anybody who believes and calls on the name of the Lord can be saved, but they have to hear. Go ahead, next slide, real quickly. This is, by the way, this is Sony. Sony just got baptized this morning. This is Sony's house. Dirt floor. That's her mother in the back. The only 2 pieces of furniture are, I can't even pronounce it right. Maybe you can help me. Bed, Greer, two wooden beds. That's it. There's no toilet. There's no shower. There's nothing. Sony is the one I shared with you Thursday. I was giving candy to the children, and Sony came, and she started. I said, "Jim Lipsuo, so it's a by day." And when you say that, they think you know the language. I said, "Well, stop it." And I called for some help. But what she was doing is she was coming and she said, "Can you come teach me?" And so we did. And Mon interpreted for me, and she got saved. And she's been faithfully going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Very poor. She's the one whose family said, no more food. I got to talk to her this morning. Adrian walked around FaceTime, Google. I have no idea what we were doing, but he did it. He called me, and I saw it on the screen. And he took me to Sony. And she said, "When are you coming back?" And then I told Sony, "Sony cannot read. She's illiterate, like most of our folk." I said, "Sony, we got her an MP3 player so she could hear the word of God and hear preaching, and her lost husband is actually listening to it. But I told her before I left, when I come back, I will pay for somebody to teach her to read. She wants to read the word of God. She wants to grow." By the way, that's where that money goes for, that you buy those books. That's what it goes for stuff like that. But she got baptized today. That's her daughter. That's the one who was coming. She was bringing for me to give candy. I don't remember if I mentioned this on Thursday. I think Sony was trying to give me her daughter to keep. She has 5 children. She lives in that small place that would be smaller, probably half the size of your children's bedroom on a dirt floor. And she's already given away 2 of her children. And she was trying to, I'm pretty sure she was trying to give me her daughter. And now for some of us as Americans, we say, "Oh, how could you do that if you love your children?" No, if you love your children in their state, you do, because you see the white guy who could support your child, put your child in school, make sure your child has medical and all these things. That's hard for us to understand, but that's the way it is. It's the way it is. Go ahead, Jeremy, next slide. I'm not going to talk about these 3 boys. Many of you follow our updates, but all 3 of these boys have been kicked out of their homes. Their families basically said, "You have to make a choice, Jesus Christ or us." And all 3 of these boys, the 2 boys on my left, your left, Sharon and Bundit, we're living with Adrian, from what I understand. In recent days, their parents have made them come home. And that's Sophia, and that's actually Shrey's son. Long story, living with relatives, and as soon as he got saved, they kicked him out of the house. That's what we deal with this all the time. Husbands telling wives, "You will renounce Christ or I will divorce you today." Married for 30 years and divorce. That's just the way it is over there. Go ahead, next slide. These are some of the children from Stungman Jay. Stungman Jay is an area in Cambodia, very poor area. I talked a little bit about it on Thursday, didn't show any pictures. The children, Cambodia is overflowing. Cambodia and Laos are overflowing with children, young people. And of course, there's a lot of reasons for that. But and orphans and grand widows and that type of thing. And these children, you know what? The promise is for them. If they'll call upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved just like you and I got saved. But if they're going to call on the name of the Lord, they have to believe. But if they believe, they have to, what's the word? Hear. But if they hear, somebody has to be willing to go. And somebody's going to be willing to go. Churches have to be willing to send. I'm thankful for Pacific Baptist Church. Amen. We've sent a whole lot of folk over there. Yes. And there's more going. Somebody say amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I've been meeting with a lot of folks the last week and a half who are seriously pondering going to China. All these children need Jesus. But the Jesus they need needs to be brought to them by somebody who knows Jesus. Go ahead, next slide, real quickly. This is actually an old slide. I wanted to put this up here because Miss Myers is in the picture and Michelle Hardesty. This is a trip a couple years ago, but it's a really good picture. See all those children? That's a children's ministry in Phnom Penh, our team in Cambodia. We basically have three churches, the city church of Phnom Penh, two village churches. Then we have 10 other places. We don't call them churches. They're preaching points. And so we're in basically about 12 villages. And basically what we do is we'll go to a village and we'll start a children's ministry. The kids are open. This is a unique one. I'll never forget. I'm pretty sure it was this day. I'll never forget. It's right about a block away from a public school. And as soon as the school is out, all of the children, every kid empties out of the school to come hear the preaching of the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And it's pretty amazing. And, of course, our group, our senior trip went there, and many of them are sitting there and that type of thing. But these are children who live in villages, and they're all over the country, not only in Cambodia, not only in Thailand, not only in Laos, in China. They're all over the world, who absolutely have no hope and no help unless somebody's willing to go. And many are willing to give and pray so they can just have a few crumbs from the table. Go ahead, next slide, please. This is in Laos. This is great-grandmother. She got saved when she was in her 80s. This is her daughter who is saved, living for God. And this is the great-granddaughter of great-grandma and granddaughter of grandma. You say, where's mom? Mom's dead. Her mother died of AIDS. Her mother died of AIDS because her mother did what so many women have to do in that part of the world who don't know Christ and want to take care of their family. They don't know Christ. All they know is they love their children, and they'll do whatever it takes to put food on the table for their children. Grandma's son now is a pastor in Laos. He's one of the guys I discipled. He's the very first guy that Brother Tomlinson's ministry, Barnabas 1040, took on to support. Aren't you glad they got saved? Somebody say amen. This is the story in this part of the world. It's just a fact. And we need to understand that because God's been good to us. Go ahead, next slide, Jeremy. We need to move rapidly. This is my adopted daughter, Sandy. I'm not going to take a lot of time. She lived with us in Laos for a year. You say, how did you adopt her legally? Nothing legal over there. We just got her. I happened to say to the mother, she stayed with us for a couple months because she was learning English. And I said, the mother was thanking me, and she was very grateful. Thank you for feeding my daughter, take care of my daughter. I said, oh, no, Sandy's a wonderful girl. I would love to have her live here. Her mother said, I'll get all of her stuff, and she can stay. I said, whoa, dude, is this like legal or what? So she lived with us for over a year. When we left the country of Laos, all this to say this, when we left the country of Laos, I looked at Sandy. My wife and I were standing there. I looked at Sandy. I said, Sandy, we love you. And Sandy looked back, and she said, I love you. And that is not something that the Asians, at least in Laos, will say to just anybody. Sandy got saved because we opened our door and let her come in. Go ahead, next slide. This, I'm preaching here. This is in the country of Laos. It's not a real good picture. By the way, this one's not my fault. Usually the bad pictures are my fault. This one's not mine. Somebody else took it. That I'm preaching. This is actually like a youth conference in Laos. It's the first time they had ever done anything like this. What we're doing there is illegal. And we're just, all the doors and curtains, everything shut and everything. And those are all teenagers. I preached to them about 14, 15 times over 4 days. God really moved in a way. But the thing I wanted to show you about this, mention about this is this. They just so hungered for the Word of God. The pastors in the country of Laos constantly are asking me, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? Go ahead, next slide, real quick. Here, I don't have time. This is a grandmother in Cambodia. That's her house. It's just, you wouldn't even put your lawnmower in it. It's just a fact of life. Absolutely no furniture. Just sleeps on a wooden floor. There was no gospel witness. There's 14,000 villages in the country of Cambodia. 85% of them have absolutely no gospel witness whatsoever. No church, no Christian, no nothing. Just everybody's just born, live their life, and they'll die, and they'll go to hell. That's what it is. You say, man, that's pretty rough. I know. Somebody's got to say it. There was no gospel witness in that village until our team from Phnom Penh came and shared the gospel in that village. Go ahead, next slide. I don't have time. This is a lady. I had the opportunity, the privilege to lead to Christ in Thailand, and I wish I could tell a story, but I don't have time. Go ahead, next slide. Jeremy, this is, those of you who've been around here for a long time, you've seen this, you've heard the story, so you could take a nap right now, okay? But this is basically for the new people. A few years ago when God was stirring my heart about whether I should go to the mission field, leave, you know, as an assistant pastor here, 18 years here, leave my children, leave my grandchildren, leave a comfortable position, and I mean, I was busy serving the Lord, that type of thing. I went on a trip, a three-week trip to Southeast Asia. Pastor asked me to go, and during that 3 weeks, like I've said, I bawled like a baby. I was an emotional wreck. It was just, but there were so many instances that God used, circumstances God used to stir my heart. By the way, the girls who are going to sing for me, if you'll get ready, wherever you are, the one that really tore me apart was probably 2 days before I left Southeast Asia and came back to America. And we were up in northern Thailand, and we were in the house of a shaman priest. The shaman priest is right there, basically a witch doctor. You can sort of see the altar in the background. And this is his granddaughter. His granddaughter's name is Gasha. She's about 4 years old. And again, many of you have heard me tell the story. I'm sitting there, and she comes over, and she starts staring at me. And I don't like people staring at me, so I stared back. Amen? I had no idea why she was staring at me. Now, the truth of the matter is, I was probably the first white person she'd ever seen. In Cambodia, it is amazing. When I go to, you know, say hi to the little the babies, they all start crying. It's like, ooh, what is this, some kind of monster? Because they've never seen a white person. They're a white ball. By the way, I'm growing my hair out, you know. But they start crying. A lot of times I have to take my hat, cover my face. They stop crying. It's just, I always wondered why my wife cried. But anyway. So she's staring at me, and I'm staring at her. And all of a sudden, as I look at her, go to the next slide. She looks like my granddaughter. And so I'm looking at Gasha, and she reminds me of my Filipina granddaughter. And I begin to weep. I'm crying like a baby. Man, I'm sitting there in this guy's house, shaman priest's house, thinking, man, if I'm going to be a Christian, am I going to have to do what this guy? You know, I'm just like a mess. And I'm thinking about the fact that, man, first they were tears of rejoicing and joy. I'm thankful that I grew up in America. Thankful I had a chance to hear the gospel. Thankful that my children are going to Bible-believing church. First, they were tears of rejoicing, but then it really hit me hard. As I looked at that little girl, and I realized that little girl and little girls like her and little boys like her all over the world, but especially here. Especially here. They're born. They live their entire lives. They die, and they go to hell. Not because they said no to Jesus, but because they never had an opportunity to say yes. That's right. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a moment, I'm going to have the girls sing for us. Just before they sing, I'm just going to have a brief word of prayer. After they sing, Brother Myers will come and close the service. You've been very, very attentive. I'm thankful that Pacific Baptist Church is a church that is committed to going into the 1040 window, to reaching out to people who are lost without Christ. But everybody needs to be a part of it. They're just asking for a few crumbs off your table and off mine. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, how many of you might say, Brother Johnny, God is speaking to my heart. I've seen some things. My eye affects my heart. I've seen some things. My heart is breaking. I may not know exactly what I should do, but I know that God is telling me I need to do something for the dear people of Cambodia. I need to do something for the dear people of Thailand. I need to do something for the dear people of Laos. I need to do something for the people of China and the rest of 1041. I don't know what, but God is speaking to my heart. Slip up your hand, and I'll pray for you. Hold it up high. God bless you. The girls are going to come sing. I'm going to have a brief word of prayer. Girls will sing during the singing instead of the piano playing. If you feel the Lord dealing with your heart, why don't you come to the altar, do business with God as he does business with you. Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. God, we all know that you are speaking to many, if not all, in here today. I pray that you would have your will and you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.